Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, starting verse 17. We're going to jump around a little bit. So everybody's excited not to have to wear masks everywhere we go. And yet, there are some downsides to it. Because now, I can't make faces to people without them noticing. Now when I use like breath freshener, it's not just for me now. Now it's for other people. You know, you can't just go with stinky breath. Nobody notices except for you. You have to keep clean shaven if you're a man. It's also harder to yawn during the sermon. Yeah, exactly. All right, Romans chapter 8. God's design for our good in COVID. Yes, I am getting out of Luke for 1 week only. And I thought that in these days, we would have a little bit of kind of deeper reflection on where we've come and where we're going and what God has been trying to tell us. Romans 8:28. This is a very common passage. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, reaches kind of the height of speaking of the glories of the gospel. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we get this beautiful picture of being heirs of Christ, heirs of the world, and everything that we have, if we believe in Jesus' name, coming to us. The glories of the gospel, all of the beauty of being united to Christ and being literally heirs of the whole world. All things are yours in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the King of the world, and we will inherit everything with him in the kingdom. And Paul, in the middle of chapter 8, has a little bit of a break. And for Paul, I think especially he has to connect the wondrous glory of being in Jesus Christ and all of this truth of what this means for us with the present fact of terrible suffering. You know, for many of us, has anyone ever been shipwrecked at sea? Looking? Nobody's been shipwrecked at sea. Now, if one of us had been shipwrecked at sea, we would tell that story, be like, yeah, I remember the time I got shipwrecked at sea and I was like lost and I made a friend with a volleyball. Like we would tell everybody that story. That would be the most amazing story that we'd ever have in our lives. And for Paul, being shipwrecked is like a footnote in all of the suffering in his life. He actually details 2 Corinthians 11:24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and live to tell about it. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Three times. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Now, the guy who had all of that happen, this is like the funniest part, is like the one time he gets shipwrecked on Malta in Acts, and we see it. He gets shipwrecked, goes, starts a fire, and gets bitten by a viper. That is the very moment when I'd be looking up to God, like, look, really? Like, this is how it's going to go. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. That is the guy who wrote And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And so we can't read this verse as some sort of trite thing that people say without thinking about it, because this is the guy who was shipwrecked 3 times and then bitten by a snake. Like, this is the guy who was beaten by rods, beaten by the cat of nine tails, whips. And he wrote this having lived through all of this suffering. Now, when Paul writes, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. He is reconciling the height of the all that we have in Jesus Christ. We call in his name. We are sons of God, united with him, heirs of the world with all of the promises of God, God being 100% for us in everything. And yet, he's reconciling it with present suffering. And we see this in verse 16 of chapter 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. He'll go on to heirs of the whole world. We have all of this coming to us. And then he has this little thing, provided. This is a conditional clause. This is all true if this happens, and it is provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In this verse, Paul says that the ultimate good for us is glorification with Christ. That is like heaven with Christ. That is the ultimate good. That is the best thing that could ever happen to us. Better than winning the lottery. Better than moving to a country where COVID doesn't exist. Maybe New Zealand. Then he says that experiencing suffering, present day suffering with Christ, is necessary in order to receive that glory. It is necessary to suffer in Christ to receive that glory. Therefore, I think we can safely say that God is working in our present pain for our ultimate good and the ultimate glory of ourselves in Jesus Christ. There's a little sidetrack here, because often when really difficult circumstances happen, when we go through really hard things, we often just look to good things that come out of that difficult circumstance, and that happens, and it's a good thing to do. You know, at the end of Joseph getting kidnapped or sold into slavery down into Egypt, he looks back and says, you know, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he could see what would happen. But I wonder if there's something just in the pain itself which is a good. And that is, it binds us more deeply to Christ. It makes us more acquainted with the man of sorrows. And so that every tear we cry that God is collecting in his bottle is a tear that draws us closer into the heart of Christ if we are suffering while looking at Christ. So backing up, if God is working hard things for our ultimate good, COVID was definitely a very hard thing. And what good was God, or is God, working? Now I'm going to do 4 points on this, and there's probably more that you could make. But the first point, we've already seen. Pain itself is a rung on the ladder to glory. It says, provided we suffer. And so the pain we suffer is a rung on the ladder to glory. And so we can see in that that our present pain is far outweighed by the future glory that we'll experience in Christ. In every way that we innocently suffer as Christians in this world, we identify more with Jesus Christ, which will result in our own ultimate glory. So the pain itself is a rung on the ladder to glory. Two, we're going to go to Luke chapter 13. And this is slight repetition from a sermon because we got this very point like a month ago, but I'm going to go over it quickly again here. Jesus was teaching and he said, "Or those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Well, the second thing we see in COVID is that COVID is for our ultimate good, because every pain, every judgment in this world that we suffer under motivates us to make our faith sure, because it warns us of ultimate judgment. And we saw this as we went through Luke's gospel. When Jesus is confronted with random suffering in this world, like a tower just fell on some people, it's tragedy. The take home is not that the people the tower fell on were particularly bad and they deserved it somehow. The take-home message that we're supposed to get is that we deserved it just as much as them. And so when we see someone sick and dying of COVID or of cancer or of the thousand other miseries that afflict mankind on an almost daily basis, it should remind us of the fact that we are sinners deserving of worse and cause us to turn to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if our COVID pandemic was a specific judgment on something specific in our world today. I mean, I could name a few suggestions, probably more than one or two. But we do see that all of the pain in this world is a result of the curse of sin, and every pain that we see should remind us of the even worse pain that awaits those that do not turn to God. And so we flee from the wrath to come and turn to God. COVID warns of ultimate judgment. COVID is for our ultimate good, because every judgment warns of ultimate judgment, which motivates believers to make our faith sure, not to grow slack, and it motivates unbelievers to turn to the living God as our only hope of salvation. Now, if you thought being locked in your house for a couple of months was hell, it is nothing compared to the real thing. After all, I could still, during the pandemic, get Reese Puffs and eat them deliciously for breakfast. But in hell, there is no breakfast. That was a subtle reference to a song. Let the reader understand. Hebrews 10:24. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So has anybody ever been to a music festival lately? Nobody lately. Now, music festivals are lots of fun. Another thing that we have not done in a long time. It's so cool to go and you see like a live band, and this was so exciting. You know, like I would go, and you know, when I was a younger man, go and you'd see like this band you never heard of playing. And you're just like rocking out with the crowd, like, man, this is so cool. And then you go home, and you buy their CD, or as was more likely the case when I was 20, I went on the Napster and I illegally downloaded it. Don't do that, kids. That's stealing and wrong. And I would listen to the music at home, and I discovered that this punk band at the Warped Tour was terrible. It was just awful, a terrible band. But yet, when I was like with the crowd, and like rocking out, you know, mosh pit and stuff. Also, kids, stay away from mosh pits. Like, it was so awesome, felt so good. Now, there is something that draws us in a crowd. You know, people do things in a crowd they never do by themselves. And there's something deep going on. It's that our greatest purpose, what we were meant for more than anything else, is actually a crowd, because the vision of heaven we see is the saints gathered around the throne in a crowd saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And so when we're in a crowd, when we're excited about something, this is tapping into some deep down need in us to give worship to God alone as our eternal purpose. Our deepest goal in Christ is not some sort of Zen Buddhist meditation on the mountain detached from everything, but a crowd around the throne giving worship to the King of Kings. We were meant to be close together. You know, we were created to commune with God and each other. And even, like, you go back to the Garden of Eden, you see Adam, and he's by himself. And even before sin, it was not good that he was alone. And even more so, is it not good that we be alone, as we are prone to sin and self? More and more, and this was even way before COVID, we've been creating worlds where we exist in bubbles. We're only connected through these accursed little screens. Hello, guys. But worship here is meant to draw us into the fully orbed physical existence of praising God. And as a church, we gather together, we get a little foretaste of what heaven will be like when we're caught up in the mystery of the crowd, giving praise and glory and honor to the Lamb of God on the throne. Heaven is being in that crowd. And you know what? I'm not sure this is totally theologically right, but it would work. Hell is having to live stream heaven by yourself forever. I wasn't going to tell people that, you know, people who only live stream church just go to live stream heaven. That's not totally true. 1 Corinthians 16:20 is one of my favorite verses for how a church should be. And it's, greet one another with a holy kiss. I once preached a whole sermon on that text. Now, you can live stream music and a sermon, but you can't live stream a kiss, no matter how hard the people try with the internet. An emoji just doesn't do it. Now, we as a church have a little work to do in greeting one another with a holy kiss. Okay, probably the equivalent is kind of a hug, a little more than a handshake, something, it's how you greet your family. We as humans can go very accustomed to lifestyles that are not good for us. We can drink too much, we can eat too much, we get trapped by our pleasures, following the path of the least resistance. And just like the river flowing downhill, you follow the path of least resistance in your life, and you will end up in the lowest place possible. There are many who have dropped from fellowship and meeting together, and we need each other, and we need to give a hand, to invite, to pull each other up, to pull together, so that we cannot neglect meeting together. Now, I hope that in our time apart, we have learned to treasure meeting together, because it truly is a treasure, and it points to the greatest treasure, where we will worship the Lamb of God around the throne. Final text is the text I always read at funerals. Ecclesiastes 7:2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. So I'd like you to imagine one second that you're going on a hike. Anybody like to go hiking? Hiking, yeah. One of the few COVID-safe activities you could do, other than being huddled in your home with your head beneath the pillow. Imagine you're going on a hike, and you're going to go about 3 miles, and at the third mile, you are going to walk off a cliff and die. Sounds like a nice hike. But this is literally your life. Like, this journey of life ends in like a 500-foot drop-off that you are not going to live through. Nobody's getting out of this alive unless Jesus comes back first. Solomon said it's better than to go to the house of feasting, the house of mourning than feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Now, the death rate from COVID might have been pretty low. 570 people died from COVID in Saskatchewan. That's about one in every 2,000. For reference, the odds of dying from choking on food is 2,500. But the odds of dying from an opioid overdose is 1 in 92. And the odds of dying from cancer is 1 in 7. And by the way, the death rate from all causes is 100%. In fact, if you count the people in the Bible that died, got resurrected, and then died again, it would be slightly over 100%. Our life can be so separated from death. People die, and then you just see them in a little, like, urn thing. You know, you don't even get to see a dead body sometimes, which is unfortunate. Everyone should look at a dead body, because it's a reminder that one day we will be in the box. We all die. And as annoying as it was to being blasted with every day, like, 4 people died of COVID. 3 people died of COVID. And it's like every single day, and you're like, oh, don't they have some good news to share? The benefit of it was that it reminded us of our mortality day by day. We need to realize that we will die. When I was young, the thought of dying terrified me. Deep down, I was just afraid, terrified, because I didn't know Jesus Christ yet. And if that terror of that cliff at the end of your life is going to do what it should, the curse of death, it should motivate us to turn to the living God. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Because you can be social distance, put on masks, avoid COVID, and avoid every illness known to mankind, and death is still going to catch up with you one day. There's only one way to die happy, and that is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know many things in this life, but I know one man, Jesus Christ, who died and had victory over death and lives forevermore. And so we want to get to know that one man who defeated death, Jesus Christ. To do that, we just need to call out on his name, Lord Jesus, save me. I need your help. Save me from judgment. I am a sinner. You are my only way. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ can free us from the fear of death. The fear of death, which is supposed to motivate us to turn to Christ. Remember death and the one, Jesus Christ, who conquered it. COVID is for our ultimate good because it has reminded us that we will die. And that should point us to the one who conquered death. So, why COVID? Oh, I had to click. That's the one. Pain itself is a rung on the ladder to glory. COVID warns us of ultimate judgment. COVID has taught us to treasure meeting together. And COVID has reminded us of our mortality, to remember death, and point us to the one who's conquered it. Take hope, Christians. For God has not abandoned us. He's not been hijacked by some random poor meal decision in China. But he holds all things in his hands and is working it for your good in Jesus Christ. For in him we have nothing to fear. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or lockdowns or viruses or oppressive governments? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And don't forget the in all these things. In COVID, in sickness, in pain, as we cling to Christ, we are conquerors, not just after those things as we celebrate today, kind of the end maybe, I hope. But we celebrate in them, knowing that God is working all things for good. In these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we approach the end of these days, let us not forget what God has been trying to tell us and just go back to the numbing Disneyland existence of substitute pleasures, but let us turn to the living God who's our only hope at getting through this alive eternally. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that for every spirit and soul here that we would cry out to you, that we would cling to you alone as our only hope of salvation. For without you, we are lost, but with you, we have all things in Jesus Christ. So Lord God, we look to you, bind our hearts, help us to cry out, Jesus, Lord, save me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.